This is God's holy and inerrant word, starting in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Good morning, Renewal family. It's great to just be together. As a family, that's what we truly are. And it's so great to be able to worship in this place where God freely calls us week after week. Well, originally we were going to continue our 1 Peter series, but in light of the passing of our dear brother Kevin, who for the past 3 years had been battling cancer, we decided to pivot, and this morning I'll just be sharing just a brief devotional word that was helpful to me, and I pray will be encouraging to you from James 4. Along with a few promises and words of comfort, words of hope from other places in the scriptures. Well, James chapter 4, it's very dear to my heart. I've personally experienced loss in my life. In fact, this coming week is the 5-year mark that I lost my own father to cancer. And I'm always reminded, my dear brothers and sisters, and wonder often, how in the world can anyone deal with things like pain, grief, and loss without a sense of real hope? And I'm talking about substantial hope, hope that lasts beyond today, hope of eternity, the hope that only comes through Jesus and his gospel. And more I've come to know, only by his grace, that for us who believe in Christ by faith, we have that. We have it. And that's why we wake up every day. That's why we can journey on. That's why we can gather here. And as painful as grief and loss are, we don't have to be crushed. We don't have to be ruled by them. You know, this world is decaying. Keep our eye on the news, keep our eye on what's going on in the world, and even just our own personal experience, we know more and more and sense more and more what the scriptures tell us, that this creation, this entire world is subject to frustration and death. It's groaning with the pains of birth pangs of for redemption, all because of sin. And in times where we're brought to that sober realization, that's the reality, we tell ourselves simply that this isn't the way it's supposed to be at all. But Christ came into the world to fix all of that once and for all and to make all things new. And that's at the heart of our Christianity. He's going to make all things new, even our very lives. So for this morning, just two very, very simple points I pray would encourage you, and afterwards we're going to come as a family together to the communion table to remember where those truths find power. Number one, life is short, but Jesus is eternal. And number two, life is unpredictable, but Jesus is faithful. Number one, life is short, but Jesus is eternal. In verse 14, Apostle James writes these words, "What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." You know, when we were all younger, perhaps as kids growing up, or even into our younger adult years in our 20s, we're just trying to make a life for ourselves. Some of us are there now. Not very few of us wanted to hear, you know, especially from older people, that, hey, life is short. You know, make it count. Do everything you want to do. We just want to tend to feel in our youth that we've got a lot of time. When we're young, we feel invincible. Our mortality and the fleeting nature of life, that's for, you know, people who've already lived their lives, they can worry about that. Let me kind of live my life to the full and enjoy it now. You know, but what the Bible tells us in its divine wisdom, that's not the way we're supposed to think. It teaches us otherwise. So the Apostle James in this passage, he's getting into the faces of his readers and challenges them because perhaps they had lost sight of that. Their own mortality, their own limits. They were making a lot of plans, a lot of decisions, feeling so sure that everything in life is going to work out exactly the way we plan or envision. And he says to them, no, do you really think you have that kind of power? Do you really feel like you have everything under your control? And so he doesn't come down hard on them, but with love and tenderness in his voice, he says, no. I love you too much to leave you feeling that way. And he says, you know what you are? You're a mist. Your life is a mist. He adds that a mist only appears for a little time, and then it's gone. Because, you know, a mist, it's suspension of water droplets. Even with a slight wind, it could be blown away. We haven't seen too many mists around here lately to use as a reference. I used to take many trips to Southern California when my parents used to live there several years back. I remember many times sitting on those freeways, they call it freeways over there, with a lot of bad traffic, never ends, 24 hours, surrounded by smog. You know, what's smog? It's a mix of smoke and fog, not the best combination when you're out at the beach. And I remember one minute just complaining, man, this is bad. This stinks. It's ugly. And the next minute, I would literally blink, and it's gone. I can see the sun. I can see the sky. And that's what this illustration reminds me of. That for us, as we live out our days, we probably, most days, especially when we go through a lot of hard situations, stress, pain, we may lament the fact that though the days might seem long, the years seem very, very short. In fact, the years seem to go by faster and faster as the turn wheel goes around. And once you start raising kids, forget it, it's even more noticeable as their years fly by, you know, right before your eyes. And so why do we make mention of this very simple point that seems so basic, so elementary? Because living your life knowing that we're here today and gone tomorrow is at the center of biblical wisdom. David writes in Psalm 90:12. I have a few of these verses printed in the bulletin for you. He prays, so teach us to number our days, meaning there's an end. They're numerated, meaning our days are finite, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And he also writes in Psalm 39:4, O Lord, make me know my end. And what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. There's David, who wanted so badly to be wise in the way he lived. Talk about a man who experienced the highest of heights. You know, he slayed a giant on the battlefield. And the lowest of lows, he was called out for committing horrible sins that left him broken, weeping, grieving, and knew that he did not have a lot of time to make his remaining days count. And so he prays, Lord, help me, teach me, guide me to be wise. You know, friends, anytime we experience loss and pain of this magnitude, we will come face to face with this reality. And those are times not to wallow in it, but to ask God, how can I learn? Would you help me to refocus my spiritual vision so that I can have proper perspective? Because as short as life is, as fleeting as the hours, the days, the months, the years, and the decades are, we as believers in Jesus know with absolute certainty that Jesus is eternal. He's eternal. There is absolutely nothing that can be more encouraging for you and I right now. We've lost a dear friend, and the sting of that is so raw. We painfully realize how temporary and short everything is. But also that there really is something or someone, the one who loved us perfectly, who died to save us. He is eternal. His kingdom and reign have no end. There's no bounds. And I think when you sit there and you just kind of try to wrap your mind around that, it's like living forever, really? It's like that hits you so hard. That not only can you say, you know, as you read it through scripture, try to meditate on it, make sense of it, Jesus is going to last forever. Of course, he's God. But because we, by faith, believe in him, because we're one with him, because by the work of the Spirit and bringing us in to salvation, we're inseparable with him. And there's going to come a time for us where death is not going to be able to touch us ever again. And we're just like, wow. Wow. You know, even for the biggest skeptics among us in our day today, that's just something you want to be true, even if it's hard to accept. Like, could that be true? And people who question Christianity and try to just figure out its claims and struggle with it, when they come face to face with tremendous crises and things that stretch them and point them to their own limits and mortality, it's like, could that be true? Could it possibly be true that there's a way to live forever? And friends, we don't need to look very far in just the pages of the Bible, but we know that for certainty. That you and I can face tomorrow and each day after that and the next, that this is our eternal destiny. That this is our story and this is our song. A couple more scripture verses. I'll just ask you all to meditate on your own. It's printed there in the bulletin. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The eternal God. In a verse that was shared with us recently, Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into the hearts of man, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end, because he can. It's eternal. And so may those words and truths empower you, and may they empower me today. And secondly, life is unpredictable, but Jesus is faithful. Back at verses 13 and 14, James gives us these words and thoughts to think about. He says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town, spend a year here and there and trade and make a profit, yet you don't know. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. You never know. You cannot predict what's going to happen in any realm of your life. Think about it. Just as a church, right? If you were to bring us back just a few months, maybe just to the beginning of the summer, if we can remember that far back. How many of us can really resonate with this verse? How many of us could have predicted that sitting here today on October 13th, that we would all be where we are? All that's happened, it's like you couldn't script it. You can't make it up. But maybe also in your personal life, for better or worse, maybe things have gone well. Maybe things have taking a bad turn. You know, just life is this ongoing journey with so many twists that happen without warning and you didn't expect. And again, as I mentioned before, for the readers of James, perhaps in their minds, it's like, hey, what can I do to kind of get ahead of that, this unpredictability of life? We'll just plan for the future. You know, I know many of us in this room, we are planners. We like to plan. It's like, want to meet up? Let me check 2025, February, let me see if I got some time. I'm going to have our entire year and next 3, 4, 5 years mapped out. And perhaps many of us got to where we are in life with a lot of careful just decision-making, crafting out what we're going to do. But we also know that, again, for better or worse, there are things outside of our control that take place all the time. And sometimes it helps us also to move along. We just never know when and how those things are going to happen. But you know who does? God. He knows. His knowledge of all things is infinite. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, all the seemingly little things that end up being so significant that alter the course of our lives. You can think back to even just your younger years, you know, for you kids, teens, students. You may already feel like that's true, right? You know, you wake up, it's like, oh, I didn't expect that to happen today. You lie down at night and, you know, parents with your kids like, hey, let's think about what happened today. Did you think that was going to happen today at this point, last week or the days before? And we're like, no. And what can we do? What can we do but just surrender to God and thank God for what he brings in his goodness to us? And we all know that the wisest way to move forward is to surrender all of those plans. School, major, life goals, our plans for our kids, what we're going to do in the future, financially, retirement, all these things, God, these are all in your hands. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't at all. You do. And that's where I find my deepest, deepest peace. Not only do you know, and not only do you have plans, nothing's going to stop your plans because they're best. And they come from the author of all life. I always have Proverbs 19:21 written on my heart. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that prevails. One of my favorite Pixar films is the movie Up. I don't know if you've seen that recently. It was very popular years ago. And just that opening sequence is just so remarkable. It's like, it really, really hits you. The nature of life. It's a story of Carl and Ellie, starting with when they were kids, their development into adulthood, their growing romance and love, the family they started together, and then the tragedy that eventually left Carl all alone in the later years of his life. And that's just how the movie starts. I remember watching that, I'm like, ready to go home, but there was a whole other story to be told. But you watch that, and you're like, wow. As you get older, you just never know when you're going to have to break that piggy bank, right? You save, 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 and you see the tape on it, and they're breaking it over and over again because just something unexpected always happens, and that just, I always get a lump in my throat when I think of that image. And I find myself asking all the time, if I have little control over what happens, both immediately, day by day, and in the long run, how does that affect the way I look to God? How should that affect my faith? How I pray to him? What I pray to him? How long I stay on my knees? It should make a big difference, right? You may not be a Christian here today, or you're here, you come pretty frequently, you're struggling with your faith. I know a lot of us struggle a lot. And maybe that's the struggle. Like, you want control over your life. I know my wife and I talk about that a lot. We just want to stay in control. But too bad, babies, when they're 6 months old, they don't care what kind of control you want. They disrupt everything. And you realize how limited and unable you are to do that, and it's discouraging. What do? Just wake up and try again? Try a different plan? Make better plans? And what happens when that doesn't work out? It's disheartening. We're all looking for something that will never fail, will never change. And that brings us to the second half of this point, that though life is unpredictable, Jesus is faithful. Why? Because he remains the same forever, and he gives us what is always best for us. You know, every morning as I'm driving my son who's about to turn 3 to daycare, it's about a 15-minute drive. For the first 5 minutes, I pray really loud, and I make him listen. And he already knows that this is a very, very important part of our day. We depend on Jesus for everything. You know, one day I didn't pray. I was occupied with something, and I was trying to fix something. He goes, "Daddy, pray. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Amen." But these days, even this past week as I'm beginning my prayer, I say, "Jesus, you are our rock. You are our rock in times of trouble, the rock of ages. And though there are winds and storms in our lives that rage around, if we plant our feet on you, if we place our faith in you, then we will never be shaken." And that's such a strong, strong image in my mind. I don't know if you guys saw the images of Hurricane Helene and Milton, just so very terrifying and devastating to be caught in the middle of something like that. But when we think about the storm, spiritual storm and chaos that just rages around us, the temptations, the spiritual warfare all around, all the things, everything that comes with this fallen world, what can give us the stability so that we won't be moved? It's what Jesus has accomplished for us. It's what we're going to remember when we come to the table today, that when we face loss, we lose loved ones, when tragedy hits, when we feel like life is so insecure, there's chaos everywhere, to believe this about God can bring a deep inner peace and security. If you're there, just a couple of prayers I want to offer to you. It's printed. Psalm 18, 1 and 2. I love these verses. It says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Man. Even just saying those words makes me feel so safe. Or Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" We sang that just a few minutes earlier. Whom shall I fear? Because the God of angel armies is for us and not against us. Even when we feel like we were being swept away, we won't. Because of the gospel, because of his death and resurrection, we have a living hope because his almighty power and sovereign control will never change. Put that in your heart, my brothers and sisters, and allow it, as you place your faith in that, to give you the power to persevere through anything. I think of our dear brother Kevin, who we will miss so dearly. He ran his race. He finished it. It's so comforting that he's no longer suffering in his broken body and flesh. A couple of us were able to pray for him and with him on Friday morning. And knowing that all that's gone, it brings such a deep, deep peace. A much better place. No longer having to deal with the pain, the unpredictability, and the limits of life. And he's able to see far more than we can see. And it's also good to know that, as his brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we're headed there too. For me personally, I first met him when I was speaking at a Penn State Harvest retreat when he was an undergrad. Just such a nice guy, big smile. Every time I ran into him in Philly, wherever we were, even my first day here at Renewal Mainline last August, he just came up and said, "Welcome. Welcome, Pete, and I'm just so glad you're here." Simple words, spoken so warmly, just so encouraging. You know, as the year wore on, he had to miss some Sundays here and there, all that he was battling. But there were many Sundays he came out. He did make it, with the boy sitting in that back corner over there, as Esther was faithfully serving the Sunday school. And you could just sense the joy, just the real desire to be here. You know, under that mask, you can sense he was smiling. He loved Jesus, loved worshiping, wanted to be with his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's a passionate sports fan. I mean, I rooted for the opposite team, so couldn't really connect there. But in these remaining days, knowing that we're on the same team of the kingdom for eternity, and that's what matters most. You know, some of you knew him much better than I did, you know, and I know that in the coming days and weeks we'll have a chance to share stories of how much and how specifically he was a blessing. But for now, we praise God, we celebrate his life, and we grieve that we won't see him physically here in this room or on earth. But when Jesus returns to make all things new for those of us who believe, it's guaranteed and absolute, because the Bible says so, we're going to see him again. But even better than that, we'll be face to face with Jesus, where once we could only know in part or just imagine what it's like to be in heaven. On that day, our faith will become sight. We will live and reign with him forever, and when we finish the race, when we arrive at eternity's shore, where death is just a memory, our beautiful Savior will welcome us home. So in light of that, let's press forward with hope, live out our faith, live to tell others this story, live with purpose, share this good news with those who need it. I'm glad we were able to pray for family members who don't know Christ. What an awesome opportunity to know that we face these kinds of hardships in life with a different mindset, with a different hope. Let's preach and show Jesus to them and let his light shine through us. Let's take a time to reflect. We can bow our heads for a minute. Let's think about our lives for a minute. Think about where we are in our journey. You know, even in this last 24 hours, I've been examining my own life. You know, what am I doing? You know, where are my passions? You know, how closely and how seriously am I taking my own call, you know, to live this life on earth for him? Even my own calling in ministry, how is that impacted by what I believe about eternity? So I encourage you, do the same. This doesn't have to be a morbid thing. It could be a hopeful thing where we reflect on so many steps along the way. Things are outside of our control. You know, what we feel. Think about the times we get sick. Think about the times we get disappointed. But also think about the times where God shows us how faithful he is, how good he is. When people encourage us, you know, and God encourages us through them. He reminds us that he has always been in control, that he has led us all the way, and what a friend we have in Jesus. As we think about that, you can, even as we prayed earlier, thank God for Kevin's life, what he meant to us, but we thank God that he's with him in heaven, and that's our destiny too. We're running our race now. We look to the one who experienced death so that he could eradicate it forever and shed his blood. So let's reflect on that. You can pray on your own. You can maybe pray with someone next to you if you want. Pray with your kids. Let's look at Jesus. What an amazing story we have. Let's pray.